Welcome in, everybody, on a beautiful Friday evening right here in the city of Houston from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. I am your host, John Harris, for Texans All Access, football analyst, sideline reporter, and the originator, constructor, and all things Harris 100, and it dropped today. Make sure you check it out, HoustonTexans.com, and also check out my Twitter feed, at JHarrisFootball. So all in one day, I'm giving you All Access, I'm giving you the Harris 100, and I also did a first-round mock draft, so I've got a bunch of everything for you ready to go. And joining me to talk about some of that, some of this, some of that, my man, the voice of Texas, Mark Vandermeer. Mark, how are you doing this Friday?
Johnny, I'm doing great. I mean, we have March upon us. Well, it's here. It's not upon us. I mean, you don't say upon us when it's already here. But yeah. I'm just thinking about free agency getting started because – you know, the legal tampering starts before the actual date of free agency, which is March 17th when the league year begins. So this really means that a week from Sunday or Monday, stuff's just going to start flying with all these acquisitions teams are going to make. And I think that the cuts, because we keep hearing about more and more cuts, we've had some already, not just with the Texans, but with other teams, as they're going to cut names because of the cap situation. We're going to get a lot of that in the next week. So get ready. It's happening all around the league. And I think people have been ready. The NFL hot stove is always very, very piping hot.
Well, we talked to John last night about that. Diana Rossini, I believe it was, from ESPN, had spoken to NFL head coach. And the head coach said, it's going to be a quote-unquote bloodbath coming up with the cuts, et cetera. And then we talked about that with John McClain last night. And one of the teams that we brought up, in fact, it's the one team with the least amount of cap room, the most amount of negative cap room, and that's the Saints. And right after we got done, I go to Twitter, and I see a Thomas Morstead, longtime punter for the Saints, out. We're going to see a number of names, like you said, names you know, that are going to be 86 from a lot of teams. Now, at this point, now, based on where the cap is going to be, and that's still sort of in limbo.
Right.
The floor is 175. There's a lot of thought it's going to be like 181, 182, 183, somewhere in that mix. The Texans are in a great cap situation, but they're not in the Saints situation. So they're going to have, I think, an opportunity to go out and maybe sign a free agent or two. They're not sitting there with Jags or Colts or Browns. I think the Browns have got some good cap money as well. But there are a number of teams, Mark, that COVID creating this difficult financial situation for teams. There were teams that weren't banking on that at all, and now they're having to pay the piper. And it's going to be really, really interesting to watch as we get a little bit closer because today's March 5th. Like you said, new league year starts the 17th. Legal tampering can start a couple days before that. So, oh boy. All right. We got a lot of things to do tonight. Next segment, we're going to do either or. I've been thinking about these for some reason today. I was driving around and I thought of some and I was like, man, this would be good to ask Mark. So I got some either ors. I think you'll like them. It'll make you think a little bit. Mm-hmm. Last segment of the show, the Texans are picking right now at number 67. In my Harris 100, what players could that possibly relate to? The player at number 67, I would really like. But the ones a little bit above and a little bit below, there's some that I like. So we'll get into those later in the show as well. But, Mark, I saw today that the season ticket members got their packages from the Houston Texans. And it got me thinking about the 2021 home opponent. Now, we don't know preseason, so we don't know that. But if things turn out the way that we have been talking about, that we have heard through the grapevine, heard in our building a little bit, the Texans will presumably play 9 regular season home games, 1 preseason game. That will then change the following year. Then it'll be 2 preseason games and 8 regular season games. Either way, you're going to get 10 games at home, 10 games on the road as it sits right now. Of those 2021 opponents, we get both LA teams. I mean, I'd swap right now Cleveland at home and one of those LA teams on the road. I'd much rather have that. To have to go back to Cleveland again, But I'd much rather go see SoFi Stadium. But we get not one, but two LA teams. Seattle, we get division teams, and then we get the AFC East of New England and the Jets, and presumably the Carolina Panthers. Now, as I look at that list and I'm sitting there going, whoa, what's the one thing? There are a few things. But when you look at a list and you look at the teams you're playing, the first thing that I think about, what quarterbacks are you facing? When I look at that list, Mark, what quarterback, presumably to start for those teams, scares you the most if it's not Russell Wilson?
Oh, you had to say if it's not Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, of course.
I'm not going to say this is the scariest, but Matthew Stafford with the Rams could be pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Because now he's got McVay to work with. And in that system, everybody thinks it's going to be really good. Now, Stafford has put up big numbers in Detroit over the years, only four winning seasons since 2009 when he came into the league. So that's been a big problem for them and him. But he's a well-liked guy, Johnny. A lot of his Detroit teammates are saying they want him to win a Super Bowl with the Rams. And that's really got to make Jared Goff feel horrible as he walks through the door, doesn't it, in Detroit? Like, hi, guys, I'm here. I'm here to play with you. We want to win a championship. Yeah, we're rooting for Matthew Stafford. Wait, he plays for the team that just shipped me off with this huge contract and just wanted to get rid of me. So, look, Stafford is well-liked. He's good. I think Stafford in the Rams context is going to be really tough to deal with. Herbert is pretty scary, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you said both LA teams, and I think it's funny because, you know, a decade ago, you'd be like, well, who are they? Because the Chargers play in San Diego and the Rams play in St. Louis, but that's where we are today with both LA teams. Ryan Tannehill, as tough as the Titans are as a team, doesn't scare me more than those other quarterbacks. And let's see, who else do we have to work with here? All right. The Jets are coming in.
Yeah, the Jets are coming in. So is that Sam Darnold? Is there Zach Wilson? Is it a rookie? Is it somebody else?
Yeah.
And the Jets are
this
were
another
mystery.
Kind of show. We would have another thing to say about that, perhaps.
Yeah, but we won't. And this isn't that kind of show. And then you got the Patriots.
Yeah.
Complete mystery.
You know, that's a total mystery. And, Johnny, on the national level, I've seen some talk about would Cam go back to New England? Would they want him back? But you've seen very little talk about the Patriots, which is really what I predicted. As soon as this team stops winning, they just fall off the table. Like, and they have a tremendous national brand, but it was all held up by actual winning. And before people roll their eyes at me, stay with me on this. The Steelers brand kind of holds up at 8-8. You know what I mean? It holds up. The 49ers brand, not so much because they've driven it into the ground. Despite going to the Super Bowl in 2012 and going a couple of years ago, they still don't really have it going last year, actually, last offseason. Let's see, who else? The Cowboys, obviously. That brand, they haven't done anything for a quarter century, right?
Right.
I mean, the Texans have more playoff wins than the Cowboys do since the Texans came into the league. Think about that for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. More playoff wins than the Cowboys since the Texans have come into the league. And the Texans, you know, you think about division championships and things like that. Neither team has gone past the divisional round. I just thought it was worth mentioning at this particular point in time. But the Patriots brand does not hold up. I think it's really interesting to see and think about what they're going to do at quarterback. You know, what does Bill Belichick have up his sleeve for quarterback? And I don't know if he knows right now, but obviously they've got it on a big whiteboard and they're talking about all the possibilities.
That one's going to be really interesting to me. You could see a rookie in New England. Mm-hmm. Could see a rookie with the Jets. You're definitely going to see a rookie with Jacksonville. You'll see a second-year guy with the Chargers. You're probably going to see a rookie with Carolina. So at home, you have the possibility of facing 1, 2, 3, 4 rookies and 1 second-year guy. That's amazing to think about. Where we've had years where the quarterbacks we face, like, oh, what was the year? Was it 16? I think it was 16 where we faced every big-time quarterback that you could possibly face in the league. It was like, oh, make it go, like, make it stop, because it was Rivers and Rodgers, and that Derek Carr was hot in 2016. We faced every one of them. And then you look up and go, and you just mentioned it. The most dangerous guy is probably one that doesn't scare you all that much, and that's Tannehill. He's probably the most dangerous one of that list, especially the way that he's played at NRG against you the last couple of times. Everybody talks about Derrick Henry, and for good reason. But in those games, Ryan Tannehill made the plays that killed you. That's what's killed you. But you got a possibility of facing four rookies and a second-year guy. Now, that can be good or bad. I mean, 2018, you faced Baker Mayfield, and you intercepted him three times in the first half, and that was pretty much ball game. But we'll see. But, Mark, from a quarterback standpoint,
yeah,
this home schedule really is not really gonna knock you over. I do like the fact that there's a ninth game, though. I like that. That'll be interesting.
But I think, you know, you don't have these established guys necessarily. You pointed out the rookies, but you have a lot of exciting players. I mean, I'm excited to see Justin Herbert come in. I'm excited to see Trevor Lawrence, if it's him. But then you look at Carolina, for instance, Johnny. Carolina, the Jets, these are teams, you mentioned the Patriots, they don't know who their quarterback's going to be right now. No, they cannot name their opening day starter. And look, I know this is Texans radio, but I just got to be honest here. I can't name our opening day starter either because of what's happening with Deshaun, right? Is he going to be here? Is he not going to be here? I mean, and when I say be here, I'm not even talking about trade. I'm talking about is he going to play because obviously we all know what's going on and read the reports and everything. And one thing that really bothers me about this, by the way, is that everything we hear about him is stuff we hear about him. We don't hear it from him, right? We don't hear from him directly that, yeah, I'm not going to play or I'm going to sit or I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, right? I don't want to put words into his mouth because we're just getting reports and leaks and things. I just would love to have this all flesh out and have him come out with it, whatever it is, you know, and I would hope that they continue to communicate. And along those lines, I know I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I suggest to Nick, you know, I can round up a band and we can play in front of his house, although that might drive him away. I don't know what you do. You know, no, real singers, you know, or somebody. Yeah. Or you know, get Travis Scott and his buddies to go over there and do a show right in front of his house and say, we want you to play, want you to be, you know, part of the mix here and training camp, off-season program, whatever. Anyway, let's hope for the best there. But, yeah, you have a lot of teams on this home schedule, you mentioned, with the nine games that, you know, can't really name their starter on opening day. And I think that's fascinating stuff. But it doesn't take away from the excitement. It's the NFL. Cool, exciting things happen, and you just don't know what's going to occur with some of these squads like Carolina, the Jets, New England, etc.
Fascinating to think about, but if rookies take over in those places we mentioned, outside of Russell Wilson, there's only one quarterback with a playoff win on that home game schedule, and that's Ryan Tannehill. I'll let you chew on that a little bit as we get ready for our next segment. This is going to be fun. I call it either or. I present a situation. Mark then has to answer. This is going to be tough. This is going to be like picking between Pippa and Vander Kid 1 and 2. Ooh. We'll do that next on Texans All Access. Welcome back to this Friday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. I am John Harris. That is Mark Vandermeer. And it is time for Either Or. It's a segment that I created with Sean Pendergast about 11 years ago. I love it. And it's just to present a situation and really to put the opposite party, in this case, Mark Vandermeer, on the spot and make him think. And Mark, I have got some good ones for you. Do you want to start a Texans-related one or a non-Texans one or just an NFL one?
Let's do non-Texans and work our way up. We'll start with the appetizers, then get to the main course.
Okay. You can't – oh, here we go. One road trip, one road game. Do you want to go to either London or Los Angeles? One road trip, one road game.
Is it a COVID-free life at this point in this
COVID-free
scenario?
COVID-free life, either London or Los Angeles. You get Johnny. 3 days lead up to the game, then you get the game, then you come back. London or Los Angeles?
I, you know, right now I'd probably say London because it's not November or something and I'm not fried from, you know, 10 games of, you know, season. Because you know how we felt going to London. Yeah. We were sort of not kicking and screaming. It's a pleasure and a privilege and all that. But we were pretty, you know, we get kind of tired during the season and we're going through it. I mean, there's no question about it. But do we need to go to London to play a football game? You know, we are creatures of habit, just like the players. But as soon as we got on that plane and got there, it was just such a thrill and really exciting. But having said all that, I know how I feel during the season. Let's take L.A., baby. Let's go to L.A. and get it done. We've been to London. I want to go back, but maybe not right away. And I want them to go to Germany and play a game because I think that would
be nice.
Huge. And like you said yesterday or the day before, I would go back to Mexico City, but I'm hoping that the stadium setup is a little bit different than it was. That was really strange with that long ramp going up to the locker room. And you had to be – it was like climbing Everest to get to the locker room. And our broadcast position outside, if it had rained, we would have been – I think the equipment would have malfunctioned. I don't know how we would have made it through. So it was –
that would have been tough. That would have been tough. I would – the London trip – I think you encapsulated the London trip exactly – dead on, but you know, 3 days in LA, that wouldn't be too bad. All right, I'm gonna go to Texans one here. Greatest non-quarterback Texans offensive season. 2010, Arian Foster ran for 1,600 yards, 16 TDs, 66 receptions, 604 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. Or 2015, DeAndre Hopkins, 111 receptions, 1,500 plus yards, 11 touchdowns, and highlight reel catches all over the map. Greatest non-quarterback Texans offensive season for just these two. There are a few Andre Johnson that could throw in there as well, but these two, 2010 Arian Foster, 2015 DeAndre Hopkins, either or.
As brilliant as Arian was in 2010, and I'm not saying he wasn't because he was, it was tremendous. I'm going Hop here, Johnny, in 2015 because Hop – it wasn't single-handedly. There's no single-handedly in football, right? Unless the quarterback is making ungodly plays. But Hop had how many quarterbacks that year, Johnny? Four?
Oh, yeah.
Four quarterbacks throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
And he had that kind of campaign. And the Monday night catch was a season turnaround play that is really one of the greatest plays in the history of this franchise. So I got to give it to Hop. And the attention he gets and got enabled guys like Jalen Strong to make a big play against the Colts later on and things like that. I think that was the greatest offensive season or one of them for a non-quarterback Texan. But among those two, if you give me 2015 Hop and 2010 Arian, I'm taking 2015 Hop.
Okay. Me too. Even though going back and watch Arian 2010 is just a joy.
Crazy good.
Okay. You can start the day from the beginning all the way through from when you wake up to when you go to bed. You can experience the entire day one more time. Either Sunday afternoon in 2011 at Cincinnati or Saturday afternoon at home in the playoff game in 2011 against Cincinnati. Which one would you relive from beginning to end again?
No question it would be the regular season game where they clinched it. No doubt. As perfect as the playoff game was, and it was a perfect day. I've always said that. It was a perfect day.
Yeah.
With the Watt pick six and everything else, we've talked about that a lot. The 2011 clincher in December, that afternoon on the road, that thrill. I would love to relive that. And we're shooting a 53. That's our kind of 30 for 30 kind of thing that we do here internally for the Texans. And we put it out on social media and digital media. And we're shooting a 53 on that day. So I just did a bunch of interview stuff for that. And there are so many memories that came up as we were talking about it. I would love to relive that. I would love to call that again. And as I called it, I couldn't call that they were division champs on the field because – as we all know, the Saints and Titans weren't done yet. And we went through that whole story because that's a broadcast story right there that goes along with the game story. And, you know, I had to call it on the field and pause. I said, and if the Saints beat the Titans, I paused, they are the division champions. You know, so they could just take that, they are the division champions, and edit it into the call. And they did that. The NFL Network guys did that. NFL Films guys did that.
Yeah.
And I felt like they would. And it was like we were working together in perfect synergy without even talking with each other. So it all worked out.
Yeah.
It was fun. I'd do that again, Johnny.
Okay. That's a good one. You can have one thing back. Either you just get it back. Either the number 3 overall pick in 2021 or 1 year of megawatt. But that's it. Just one great J.J. Watt year, and that's it. Do you want to bring back the number 3 overall pick in 2021 or one 2014-type year of megawatt? What are you bringing back?
Well, how do I go back in time and experience that year again, or do I get to have him back this year and he has
that
season?
You get to have it this 2021 season. You get to have no questions asked. You just get the number 3 overall pick back and then let that play out, or you get 1 year of megawatt, 20 sacks, 5 touchdowns, 2014-type season.
Yeah, the 2014 season was what I'm thinking about, and that was a winning
season.
That's
it. You get 1 year. That's it.
And you mix that into whatever they do now. I mean, that you look, usually a great defensive player making big plays like that is going to elevate the defense. That was a team elevator right there.
Yep.
That season that he had. But the third overall pick, Johnny, that's pretty good right there.
That's you get for how many ever years. I mean, that could be a 10-year player.
Yeah. But I just think that if I could have Watt, a 2014 Watt performance this year, that would do a lot for me. That would do a lot for me. But look, with all the doubt, with you know who and everything, yeah, I think I'm going to take the pick. I'll take the pick.
Okay.
I'm just being honest right now. I'm going to take the pick.
Take the pick. Okay. Yeah. Now this one, I thought about this. I was like, all right, I wrote this originally, this next one, and I had the first team, and then I was like, I don't know, man. I had a complete opposite that I started with. And then I went back and was like, wait a second, what team is closely related to that one? I went, oh, okay. You can go back and relive a full season, whether you work for them or not, just the joy of watching that season. The 1998 Minnesota Vikings, 15-1, lost the NFC Championship game, or the 2018 Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes' second year, he's MVP, but the Chiefs lose in overtime to New England. You can go back and relive a full season of the 98 Vikings or the 18 Chiefs. Which one would it be?
I don't want to see the 18 Chiefs. No way. Okay. I mean, come right on. No. I mean, what? No. I don't want to see that. I'd rather see the Vikings because I get to see Culpepper and Randy Moss and Chris Carter. Those guys were awesome. And I know how the movie ends. So it's like, hey, the Titanic's a great love story. But at the end, ooh, not so good. Come back. Come back. Was there room on that door for Jack also? Or was there just no way? I mean, there was no way Jack could stay on the floating door with Kate Winslet. No chance.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Couldn't small find door, anything else. Knows?
I don't
know. You know, he's sitting there in the water. It's like, Jack, you're not going to make it. You should splash around and look for something else to float on.
Yeah.
I saw other people with life jackets. You might want to, like, make a deal. Say, hey, I'll take your life jacket off your hands. If you want to get on that door with Kate Winslet. I don't know. That wouldn't work either. But anyway, my point is this. I don't want to see the Chiefs. No way. It's just too fresh, and I don't like them. You know how I feel about that team.
They just both have some of the greatest offensive talent and then losing the championship game before getting the Super Bowl. Interesting.
Yeah, both teams lose. You're right. Yeah.
This one has to do a little bit with what we were talking about yesterday. You must institute one of these NFL rules. Now, hang with me on this.
Right.
The first rule is that an offensive fumble goes back to the original spot of the fumble if the offense recovers, or the 4th and 15 onside kick in a game gets instituted. Do you want the offensive fumble to the original spot if recovered by the offense, or the 4th and 15 onside kick in a game?
Fumble recovery done. It's in the books. Just do it like that. I don't need to have the 4th and 15. Johnny, you know how I feel about that. We should spend a show talking about the 4th and 15 because I ain't doing the 4th and 15. I am at no time soon doing 4th and 15.
I like the 4th and 15. I
you're crazy.
I mean, I'm such a traditionalist and old head, but I kind of like some of the new things. I like the spot and choose. I know McClain couldn't get it, but I like it. Okay, last one.
All right.
You can have complete amnesia for a season. Complete amnesia for a season.
2020.
Or 2005. Those are the two I picked. 2005 or 2020.
2020. No question.
No question?
No question.
Not at all.
Everything. I did a game with COVID from my office. 2020. It's all done. Right. Although, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I guess, or whatever. But 2005, I could talk about that season all day long. That was like a Super Bowl campaign compared to 2020.
Yeah. All right. Well, nice job. Mark, appreciate you joining me, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Johnny.
All right. Coming up, we'll dive into the Harris 100 right here on Texans All Access. All Access. What's up, everybody? One final segment of this edition of Texans All Access, coming to you live from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, Southern reporter, and the namesake of the Harris 100. Eighth year, I believe that's what this is. I think it's the eighth year. I tried to do the math on this, but I think I did one even before I came to the Texans, and we called it the Harris 100. But now, either way, whether it's 8th, 9th, 10th, 20th, I know I've set up draft boards for about two decades now. And the most recent Harris 100, essentially my vertical draft board, is up at HoustonTexans.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JHarrisFootball. And I have retweeted it right there. Keep that handy. Keep it bookmarked. I've got 100 players that I've got full write-ups on. You can check it out at your leisure. But I figure in this final segment, one thing people always want to know with the Harris 100, well, which of those guys do you think ends up in Houston? And over the years, I have been able to, on draft night, be able to go to my Harris 100 and put it up on Twitter. Hey, the Texans just drafted Justin Reed at number 67, 68. It's one of those two numbers. And I was able to go, hey, here it is. Here's what I thought of Justin Reed when I studied him. I think I had him at number 44. Same with Titus Howard. Same with the number of players. Kali Waring. I had all these reports ready to go in large part because I did the Harris 100. Now, obviously the noise out there, you have no idea what's going to happen with draft picks. But we know as of right now, and that's the key, as of right now, the Texans have pick number 67. It's the first time that they will draft in this 2021 draft. So I figured, all right, if I look at the Harris 100, and look at number 67. First of all, start at number 67. Is that a player that could end up with the Texans? Just first and foremost, everybody goes in order. I know it won't, but boy, it'd be really cool if it did. Anyhow, the player at number 67, could that be a Texan? There's no question that I would dance a jig on stage at the draft party. A, if we have the draft party, which I hope we do. B, no matter where we're doing the draft from, because even last year we did it, we just did it remotely. We just did it all of our houses as we did it through Zoom. At number 67 in the Harris 100 is Kenneth Gainwell, running back from out of Memphis. I say running back. Interesting, because when I do this, I try and put the position as close to possible that I think that player is going to play going forward, even if that position doesn't quote-unquote exist in a lot of people's vernaculars. I came up with a term for a player like Kenneth Gainwell, at least this is what I just came up with, called Weapon X. And that's just somebody that can be deployed in a lot of different ways. I think Weapon X actually was originally given to Denard Robinson when he went to Jacksonville. I think they called it Offensive Weapon, OW. I changed it to Weapon X. I don't know, I liked Weapon X a little bit better. And so that's what I've gone with. But I didn't put that in my Harris 100 because I was a little worried about how my folks in our digital department would, like, wait, what's Weapon X? Do I have to define that? So I just put ATH, meaning athlete. That's what a lot of recruiting services use to describe somebody like Gainwell. Now, he had a heck of a 2019 season. He was unbelievable in 2019. Loved watching him run the football. At 5'11", 191, when I initially watched him, I didn't think he was that big. Now, he only truly played 1 year of football. In 2018, when he was a freshman, he only played four games. And the NCAA had a rule before COVID that you could play four games and maintain your redshirt. That's what he did in 2018. So he came back in 2019 as a redshirt freshman, and he went off. Catch ball in the backfield, pass protection. running the ball, just sublime runner with the ball in his hands. Make you miss, guys. Strong lower half. Everything you really want in a running back. But in 2020, his family was beset by COVID. I believe the number was 4 people in his family. A couple immediate family members, I think a cousin and also an uncle that passed away due to COVID. So Gainwell said, look, I can't do it. I'm opting out of the season. And so he was one of those players that did opt out of the 2020 season from the beginning. He did in the spring when it was running rampant and his family really was hit hard. And so he decided at that point, I've got to step away. I'm not going to be there for this season. I'm going to just get myself out of the situation. And then he declared for the draft at that point. Look, he's a running back. He would have been going into his 4th year on campus. And a lot of running backs, I don't really, in all honesty, I've never really had an issue with running backs going early. They've got a short shelf life. The NFL looks at running backs in a completely different manner probably than a lot of people do. And so it's more of a kind of a single use sort of weapon. And if that player after 5 years still shows that he's got it, all right, they'll give a second contract and then hope they get kind of Derrick Henry performance. But mainly you want to get that first contract 4 or 5 years strong out of that running back. And I think you would absolutely get that with Kenneth Gainwell. Now, that's the player directly at 67. Now, I don't know if when I did this, if I was subconsciously channeling players that I could see stepping in for the Texans and being that pick at number 67. And it starts as I look at my all the way up at number 54. Tyson Campbell, corner at Georgia. Could he fall to 67? There's a possibility. I doubt it. But look, if you're anywhere probably 10 to 15 spots within that number, there's a chance. Look, I had Justin Reed at 44. I thought highly of Justin Reed. He was able to somehow fall all the way to the beginning of the 3rd round. Texans were able to get him there. But Tyson Campbell at 54, his teammate Eric Stokes at number 56. Apparently today down in Florida, Stokes at 6'1", 180, ran a 4.24 at a, I don't want to call it combine, but kind of a combine. House of Athletes, I think it's a Brandon Marshall funded location down in Florida, a workout location. And Stokes ran as low as 4.24, ran as high as 4.34. Either way, that's smoking fast. And I think at 56, he's probably going to go up. I still think there are some things in his game that have got to come along a little bit. He's still kind of clutching, grabby, kind of a holding kind of guy. And I think I didn't always see that 4.24 speed, but I think both those guys could play, and I would love to see both of them end up at 67. Don't think it's going to happen. Number 57 is Tommy Togiai from Ohio State. I would love to have that name. 6'2", 300 pounds. Only thing about him, I would love to have him, but I think you sort of have a guy like that in Ross Blacklock you drafted last year, and Ross has really got to show himself. I don't know that Togiai is too much different than Ross just right off the bat. 58 is Ronnie Perkins from Oklahoma. I would love to have Ronnie Perkins in this lineup if you were going to be more of a 3-4 team. I don't know if you're going to be a 3-4 team. They're going to be a 4-3 team, so I think it's going to be bigger defensive ends going forward. And I think there are a few of those, especially up in the top 20, a couple of them that I really like. Perkins at about 247 pounds, he fits the mold a little bit more of a 3-4 outside linebacker, but I do think that Perkins could play a DN, packs on about 5 to 7 more pounds. I think he definitely could do it, especially the way he can rush. Jay Tufuelli from USC, another interior guy. Very quick up the field. Similar again to Ross Blacklock, but boy, Tufuelli can really play. And then we get to a spot from 60 through 65 where I have 3 players that I, without question, could see the Texans taking a look at. 2 of them are centers. The 3rd one is a guard or center. He played center at the Senior Bowl, but I think he can play either guard or center. Center might be his ultimate spot, and if you take him at 67, maybe that's it. But at number 60, I have Josh Myers from Ohio State. At number 61, I have Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma. And at 65, I have Quinn Miners from Wisconsin Whitewater. Now, I saw Humphrey and Maynard's at the Senior Bowl, Both of them played center. Both of them played guard down there. I think both end up being centers in the long run, but I do think both could play guard if you needed them to. And after the release of Nick Martin, there obviously is a spot for somebody to step in there at center. Texans could look at free agents. Obviously, they don't have a ton of money underneath the cap, but they could look at a center if they wanted to. But this is kind of the sweet spot for where I've got some of the centers in this draft is right there from 60 through 65 with Myers, Humphrey, and Miners. And any of those three, you could put in that spot, and I would feel very, very good about the value you were getting for those players at number 67. At number 66 is one of my favorite players in this draft, and he becomes really interesting in whatever this defense is going to be for the Texans. His name is Jabril Cox. He's an outside linebacker. He can play off the ball. He can play outside rush end if you need him to. He's probably best served to play either a Sam or Will outside linebacker or a 4-3. I think he would be a wonderful fit with what the Texans have at linebacker. There's so much that he can do. And throughout the year, after he had transferred to LSU from North Dakota State, he really showed pass coverage, drops, zone drops, really good quality football player, Jabril Cox. I got him right at 67, so one spot below or above Kenneth Gainwell, who I talked about being at 67. Jabril Cox would be one heck of a fit for this Texans defense. And just the versatility alone, I know people hear that term versatility and they're like, I don't want to hear that term. That's a Bill O'Brien term. No, versatility is a football term. Here's the thing as it pertains to versatility. If you're going to talk about somebody being versatile, then they got to be good at all those places that they step into. You can't just be, well, you can play this and you can play that. You have to be good doing this and good doing that. That's something that I think Jabril Cox could be for the Texans, good in a number of different areas. After we get past 67, again, you know, there could be some players that below 67 the Texans take a look at pick number 67. There are a couple of big dudes inside that make this pick kind of interesting. And when I talk about big dudes inside, I mentioned a few earlier, Tommy Togiai of Ohio State, Jay Tufuelli from USC. These guys are 6'2", 6'3", 300 pounds, very similar to Ross Blacklock. Oso Odighizuwa is not quite that, but he's a kind of a similar use player. 6'2", 6'3", about 280 pounds. Saw him at Senior Bowl, a wrestler in high school, wins leverage battles left and right just because of he knows how to use levers and push and pull, yank, shed, shock, all those kind of things. The guy that really intrigues me is at number 69. That's Bobby Brown III from Texas A&M. Now, the one thing the Texans were not last year was big. All of the size that they had was really in one guy. That was Brandon Dunn. And really, I don't even think of Dunny as being big. And so I think it was easier for teams to knock the Texans off the ball or in zone game, get them on the run, and they weren't able to really kind of hold up against that. They need a little bit of size. But if that size comes with some athleticism, well, that's a bonus. And that's what you get with Bobby Brown. When he's cranked up to volume 10, he's one of the more difficult guys to block in the entire draft. And, as I mentioned, big, 6'4", 325. And in doing his testing, preliminary testing up at Exos, he ran a 4.25 short shuttle. Now, if you're wondering, okay, well, is that good? 4.25 short shuttle would probably put him about midway in the receivers and in the top third of the tight ends at that position. And it just shows the change of direction, the redirection that he has for a defensive lineman of that size. My goodness. If you said 67, you get Bobby Brown, Texas A&M, I'd say thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now, another couple of big guys on this list, the 71 and 73. We talked about the interior lineman. At number 71, I have Deonte Brown from Alabama. When I mean big, 364 pounds is big. Massive. Now, I don't think he should play at that. I think he should get himself down to 345, and that should be his weight going forward. But he holds that 345 pretty well. 364, and not so much. He just looked heavy at the Senior Bowl. He's got to cut that down. Get down to 345 in that range, 345, 350, and then mash. And that dude, his best tape, I felt like, was in 2019 against Derrick Brown. Number 7 overall pick from last year's draft. He was phenomenal in that game against Derrick Brown. They had a battle. And at 73 is a guy that I probably like more than a lot of others, and that's Trey Smith, guard from Tennessee. 6'5 and a half, 331 pounds, big, long. There's a thought initially in his career he could play tackle. He plays the game angry and violent, and that's what you've got to have. You've got to have those kind of players to play this game and play it at this level. Trey Smith is that guy. Now, he's had some medical issues off the field, none having to do with COVID, but those medical issues are going to be ones that teams are going to have to investigate and investigate them heavily. But if you do your due diligence and you realize that he and you find that he's beyond those medical issues and he's ready to ball, and at 67, you might get a gift. This guy reminds me a lot of Larry Warford, who played for Lions, played for the Saints, kind of a hammer in the middle. I really like Trey Smith. And the more that I watched him, the more I felt like it is untapped potential. Technique can go to, you know what, after a while, you know, he can lean over a little bit. But man, when he gets hands in you and his feet are working, all levers all working together, boy, he can be as good as any guard in this draft. He's just not put it all together yet, in large part because he dealt with those medical issues at Tennessee and missed a significant amount of time. Now, there could be a player up in that top 30, top 40, that falls to number 67. But those names I just gave you are all names I would be very happy with the Texans selecting at number 67. I'd be very happy with all of that. I'm thinking big, I'm thinking violent, I'm thinking nasty. And there are plenty of guys that fit the bill, no doubt, that are in and around that number 67 where the Texans will be picking in the third round that you can find at my Harris 100. Go check it out, HoustonTexas.com. You go to my Twitter feed and see my link at JHarrisFootball and get that link and go check it out. Really appreciate it. Appreciate Mark for stopping by. All of you guys for listening. Thank you so very much. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. And as always, go Texans. As always, go Texans. As always, go Texans.